What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear: strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Third hour, Darren Donick and Jace here on this Wednesday. We're live here at Mercedes-Benz of Music City. 734 Envious Lane, and you continue. And we are eternally grateful you continue to stop by here and drop things off. We really, really appreciate that. We've got a tent set up right outside this beautiful lobby that we're in here at Mercedes-Benz of Music City. And every break I get up and I go over there and look, and there's more bags and there's more stuff. Thank you so much. Two more hours of the show. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe with you here on this gorgeous day here in Music City. Man, it is beautiful here in Nashville. This right here would be the perfect day for the stadium series.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this is kind of like Dallas, right, when we were there? It's like 50 degrees and sunny.
I think
it wasn't sunny in Dallas. In fact,
You're right.
A little cloud cover is not a bad thing.
You're right. Yeah, that's a good point.
The glare on the ice can be an issue.
Good point.
The only thing that's the
It was overcast that day. Probably low 50s, overcast for the Winter Classic. But look, we got, what, two more months before the stadium series, and my guess is it could be overcast.
Yeah, it could be.
Let's bring in Greg Wyshynski, our buddy we haven't talked to in a while.
I got to meet him at the Winter Classic. He came over to our booth.
Yep.
It's a good time.
You did. And I did too. But I'd already met him before. So.
Yeah, well, okay.
We're like, Greg's like old hat, you know?
Yeah.
It's a good old hat. Greg, how you doing?
I don't ever want it to be sunny again for an outdoor game, because I think I've written the same, what will the sun do to the ice? Do the players have to wear eye black kind of story. I've written that at least 17 times, and it's not changing. They're not saying anything else that's new, so let's go with clouds from this point on.
Yeah, but I'll say this, Greg. If you're ever going to have a delay or just a big pause, Tahoe is the good place to be, you know?
Oh, God. Well, okay. Well, I take it back. That one was one I really liked writing, because those idiots didn't realize they shouldn't play a hockey game under the direct afternoon sunlight in Lake Tahoe. And the whole rink melted. They were, like, surfing by the time they delayed the game. So that one was a pretty fun one to write, to be honest.
Yeah, there are worse places to be than Lake Tahoe, you know? Stuck. Worst places.
That's true. I can vouch. That's very true.
As you know, in your article on ESPN.com, we got a chance yesterday. David Poyle joins us every Tuesday on the show, and we had our weekly chat with him. And, of course, one of the topics that we discussed heavily with him was the uncertainty of the Olympics. And it looked, you know, we started talking about this last week. And I understand the importance of the players, and I want it to happen. We all want it to happen. It's good for the game. But, you know, as much as I didn't want to be the Baby Ruth in the punch bowl, I was last week going, like, it's, folks, it's not going to happen. They're not going to the Olympics. Like, this is going to be a pretty easy prediction. And, of course, as we've learned sitting here today, it's now official. They're not going to the Olympics. Are you surprised? Not surprised? Overall thoughts?
No, I'm surprised, if only because I didn't realize that this variant was going to do this. You know, I mean, like 15% of the players, 50 games postponed. Like, I just didn't. I mean, I think we all knew that a new strain was coming, but I don't think we necessarily understood how contagious it was going to be and how much of an impact it was going to have on the season. You know, if you asked me a couple weeks ago if they were going, the biggest question was whether or not the players were worried about the Beijing protocols, or whether or not they were worried about having to quarantine for, like, you know, 3 to 5 weeks. And that was the question. And at that point, I'm like, of course they're still going to go, even if some of them decide not to. By and large, the NHLPA, those guys want to represent their countries. They'll take the risks and everything. But then to have it taken out of their hands, by all these postponements. I mean, I was at the Board of Governors meeting in Florida, right? And when they talked about it there, it was not in the terms of we should be really worried that we're not going to the Olympics. It's just merely here's the deal, and if we have to pull the ripcord, we'll pull the ripcord. It all happened so quickly, and I think that's the biggest surprise.
Yeah. But as we've learned over the last 21 months, it can happen quickly. And unfortunately, it did. So how are they going to make up these games? Because as you said, there's a lot of games now they've got to make up. And I just have it's just a gut feeling, Greg. I don't think they want to play less than 82 games. That means the players don't get paid. So I have a feeling they really want to play these games.
I think
those are paychecks. Yes.
I think the owners do too.
Those are paychecks.
Now we're creeping into that whole thing now in Canada where all of a sudden they're not getting capacity crowds anymore. So they're certainly going to want to play as many home games as possible. So the way I think it's going to play out is there's still going to be an all-star game from what I understand. I mean, they're going to have conversations about whether it is a good idea to bring players from all over the league into one place. But it's a pretty important event from a revenue perspective and from a television perspective. So I think they'll still keep that. Then you'll probably see a week off, and then you'll start to see games get rescheduled. Now, the interesting thing about that is that I do think there's a chance they could mess around with the overall schedule and move some games that are later in the season up to be played during the Olympic break, what used to be the Olympic break, just because of arena availability, and that you might not be able to make up the games that are currently postponed during that stretch, but you might be able to play some games that are scheduled for later in the season in that stretch. The other thing that I found interesting with your conversation with David Poile was he floated the idea of potentially extending the season by a week. I did some checking in on that. I think that's going to be a little bit more complicated than maybe people think, insofar as the league now having two different television partners and, you know, adding a week to the season pushes everything week for them, and that could really be a complicating factor that would prevent them from doing that. I think they're just going to take this break, squeeze in as many games as they can, and then just squeeze in as many as they can for the rest of the season.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that complicates that, Greg, is like you're talking about going in. Now you're into May, and you haven't even started your playoffs. You're into May trying to finish up the regular season, and I'm sure they want to get out of this pattern of, you know, having shorter off seasons because, and I understand that's circumstances have created that, but they'd probably like to stay on the schedule. It's already later than normal, right? It's already later than normal. And now you're talking about going into May and you haven't even started your playoffs.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, the classic problem for hockey every single postseason of my life has been they're playing their most important games at a time when, A, if your team's not playing, you don't care, and B, if your team is playing, you still might care more about pool parties and the beach, right? And now, if you push the season by a week, you might be pushing the Stanley Cup Final into July 4th weekend. So,
yeah.
Good luck ginning up some interest for the Stanley Cup Final on July 4th weekend.
Overall, with this pause right now, let's now talk. Everybody's around 30 games or so. What's your surprise story? You can name a couple of things, and it can be good or bad. How would you answer a very wide open question like that?
Oh, good by far is the Anaheim Ducks. I don't think anybody saw this coming. I think a lot of us thought that they'd finish last in their division, behind even the Kraken this year. And there's a couple of teams in that division, LA being another one, that has tried to find that sweet spot between having the veteran players still playing well and then having the next wave of young players contribute at the same time. And Anaheim found that sweet spot. And it just goes to show you that all it takes is a couple of young guys to really infuse a team with a different vibe and personality. And what Trevor Zegras has done with that team, not only with the goalie setup, but just his overall comportment and becoming like a young social media star, has really reinvigorated that franchise in a way that I don't think a lot of us anticipated. And as obviously on the negative side, I mean, the Islanders are a disaster. I really feel bad that they had to start their season with that many road games, but that shouldn't be an excuse for them kind of falling apart and not playing to their identity and not really being able to find a way to find their footing. I cringe when I admit that I had that team winning the Stanley Cup. I will now going forward say that I predicted that they would watch the Stanley Cup Finals from the comfort of their living room.
I'm talking to Greg Wyshynski from ESPN.com. Greg, I'm curious about a question, and I've been trying to ask around on this, and it seems like there's a lot of discussion about it. The NFL looks like they're adjusting their protocols. I just saw a story come up today. The ACC basketball as a league has adjusted their protocols. So we know this wave is just hitting, right? It's just hit. It's probably going to hit a number of other teams along the way that haven't been hit yet. So do you foresee a change in the protocols with the very, very heavy testing that they're doing right now? And what kind of procedural things have to get done in order to do that?
Well, it's a great question. So we wrote a piece on this yesterday, and I'll tweet it out again for the folks that might have missed it. There's a lot going on, obviously, yesterday. But you have kind of two competing thoughts here. You have the players that are casting a jealous eye at the NFL and how the NFL is now not testing asymptomatic vaccinated players, and how the NFL is now focusing on more the point at which you are not contagious versus the point at which you stop testing positive, which is a material shift for a lot any league away from the current the assumed policies for COVID that we've had in place for a year and a half. The problem is, and an epidemiologist I talked to kind of underscored this, is that the NHL and the players could want to do a lot of things, right? The problem is that they're, at the end of the day, at the will of the municipalities, the local rules, the federal government rules. And when you start talking about that, you have to focus in on the Canadian teams and the border issue.
Yes.
And I just cannot see a way forward where they dial back their testing, when in fact the NHL has ratcheted up their testing to being daily again. I don't see a way they dial back their testing at a time when Canada is going to start to really kind of examine the border again and you know, create new protocols for getting in and out of the country. It just seems it's going to run counterintuitive to what the governments are going to be doing. Even if, again, like, I'm not saying that there's a right answer, but there definitely is, according to the people I've spoken to, a case to be made for if you're young and you're vaccinated and you're healthy and you're asymptomatic, that you shouldn't necessarily be kept out of the lineup as long as these players are being kept out of the lineup these days.
Do they at least need to go back to maybe a taxi squad or have more available players on hand in case you get hit with it? Because there's a whole other set of consequences for that, right, with a salary cap and everything like that.
Yeah, that's the issue right there. And I've made that argument to a number of people, including some league executives, the idea that you have people paying extraordinarily large amounts of money to watch this product, and they're like guys that they've never heard of playing on the second line. And
yeah, or the other thing is 15 or 16 skaters, which is what we saw the Avalanche deal with.
Or, you know, the backup goalie is like a plumber at the local community college, you know, like that kind of thing. So, like,
that happened.
I was going to say here. Yeah, that just happened here in the Colorado game.
So there's a ton of issues, and you're right. But you're right about the biggest issue being the cap implications. I mean, when I asked somebody the other day on the league level about the taxi squad, they're like, hey, great idea. Who's going to pay for the players? And, you know, like, what does it mean for the cap, and what does it mean for escrow? And there's all these other questions that surround the taxi squad that are inherent as to why the NHL and the NHLPA decided not to bring it back for the season. But, again, they made that decision at a time when we didn't even know that we had gotten to this part of the Greek alphabet, right, with the COVID.
Yeah.
So, like, at some point, you got to kind of, like, change your tactics and understand what needs to be done, because I agree with you, man. Like, having a taxi squad available to make sure that you aren't playing with only like 15 guys, I think is a pretty important thing going forward for the season.
New Year's Eve, Texas A&M and Wake Forest are scheduled to play at the Gator Bowl. There's a lot of reports swirling right now here in the last couple of minutes. A&M outbreak, COVID outbreak. Looks like they're getting ready to get bagged from that bowl.
Yeah, it's
and they're looking for a replacement. I don't even how do you find a replacement?
Good luck.
Team?
Good luck.
It's not December 22nd. Wait, hey, you want to play Wake
Vanderbilt,
Forest?
Vanderbilt, come on down.
hey, listen. I mean, I might have a suggestion. You know, as a New York Jets fan.
Actually, no, they've got a COVID outbreak too.
Well, I mean, it's good to see them catch something this year, right?
Wow. Wow. Hello.
Greg, I want to ask you one fun one that you've written about.
New show at 1 o'clock.
The 3-on-3 in the NHL, the overtime, you're saying it's getting a little too boring for you.
Well, I mean, it still has its moments. It still has its moments, but it still also has a lot of games where teams are playing way too cautiously. And this was a column I wrote last week, and you can still find it on ESPN.com. I saw it. You know, I saw it happening more and more, and I wanted to kind of dive into the numbers and see if what I was seeing held up to the stats test, and it did. If you look at the numbers for the last two seasons, we are down significantly in so far as shot attempts per 60 minutes and shots per 60 minutes in overtime. The overtimes are lasting longer because teams are playing more tentatively. It's not to say that we still don't get those moments of absolute mayhem where one team misses a shot, the other team comes back down the other way on a break, and it's awesome. I think 3-on-3 is just built for that to happen on occasion, but teams are definitely approaching it much more conservatively, and it goes back to when we adopted 3-on-3, where you had coaches saying at the time, and GM saying at the time, look, they're going to find a way to coach the fun out of this thing at some point. And it's just taken a few years for it to happen, but I feel like it's starting to happen. And there are ways to fix it. I mean, you can do an over and back kind of violation if you go back over your own blue line. You could do a shot
clock. I like
that.
The shot clock is an interesting one. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a ton of ways to make sure that this doesn't get stale. And I think the best way would be to expand it to like 10 minutes to make sure you don't go to the shootout. But I love it so much. And here's my thing, boys. I want it to be good when we get to a point where I can bet on it in the like 3 minutes between regulation and 3-on-3, like bet on who's going to have the game winning goal. I need to be able to do that. And if I'm going to be able to do that, I need 3-on-3 to not be terrible and to still exist. So let's hope that they fix it.
I'm with you on that one, Greg. Greg Wyshynski with us from ESPN. So to ask you a couple questions on the Predators. You talk about surprises. I have to assume that they are a surprising team for you to see what they've done. They've won 7 in a row. But Roman Josi is obviously in the Norris discussion and UC Saros in the Vezina early on. Would you agree with that?
Oh, I definitely agree with both of those. I mean, in Josi's case, I mean, he's keeping up the close to point per game pace. He's been great. I think he's definitely in that conversation. I mean, if you're talking surprises, obviously there's only one surprise I think the media outside of Nashville has focused on, and that's the resurrection of Matt Duchene, for lack of a better term, as a salient, impactful scorer in this league. It's been great to see. I've always liked Duchene, and to see him play as well as he has, and to see him play a role on a line as good as it's been when it's been together this season, I think it's been really fun to see.
Well, do people view Johansson in the same light? Because it's kind of been the same thing for him. I know he's not necessarily the goal scorer that Duchene is, but he's already got more goals than he's had in a while with 8 and 24 points, so he's right there with Duchene point-wise.
Look, we can't pay attention to more than one center at a time. we're very happy that Duchene came back. Eventually, we'll probably figure out that Johansson came back too, and he's having a good season. But right now, our focus is on the other guy.
So I'll ask you the question that I promise not to ask David Poile every week. What do you think happens with Forsberg?
Oh, that's a great question. I mean, there's a part of me that thinks that if they're not committed, that they'll move him, right? But there's also a part of me that thinks that if you're Nashville and you want to, you know, shoot your shot as a potential playoff team, and right now there's no reason to believe that they won't be with the way that they've been playing, you kind of want to keep them around. So I don't know. That's it. I don't blame you for not asking Poile, because I don't know what his answer would be either, other than to just shut you down and say we'll deal with it when it happens. But it's a conundrum.
Yeah.
We just, at least every other week.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he gives GM answers. I mean, what is he supposed to say? I mean, it's, yeah, there's nothing new. I mean, but we got to ask. You never know, right? I mean, David's given us stuff before, but I don't think he's going to plop that one in our lap. We don't think.
Yeah. Well,
But you never know.
Again, like, I think they're a better team with him around, and plus, like, I think David Poile, more than anyone, should know you don't trade you don't trade Forsberg at the trade deadline. Bad things happen.
Okay, you going to give him max deal? 8 years? See, you're taking the easy way out. Like, let's ask the real questions. Like, of course everybody wants him to be around. That gives him their best shot. But you going to give him a max deal? You giving him 8 years? Let's say $8 million a year. Eight for eight.
Eight for eight is about what it's going to be. And I guess it's just whether or not you believe enough in the player. And I do. So I guess you do it. But I don't know. I mean, at the same time, if somebody came and blew you away with something and you could get a couple pieces for him, it'd be hard not to say no, right?
It is the question around here. Oh, what's going to happen? By the way, he does have a great line. It is a great line. And I'll butcher, so you guys help me. What is it?
We're close.
If we can just get the years and the number right.
The years and the money right.
The years and the money right. We'll have this thing finished up, wrapped up. So it's a really good line.
It's a great line, and I would love to know how Forsberg's camp would interpret the rightness of the numbers and the years.
Yeah, well, clearly I don't think they're that close, or we would have something on that front. But hey, really appreciate it as always. Merry Christmas, happy holidays to you and yours, and we look forward to talking to you soon.
Awesome. Thanks again, and happy holidays, everybody.
Greg Wyshynski, ESPN, ESPN.com, does great stuff. In fact, you can see him on Daily Wager. He threw in a little Daily Wager talk right there.
Yes, he did.
Wanting to bet on it. So he does make appearances on there, give some hockey picks, and we do appreciate him joining us. I'm going to talk to you right now about my friends at Cool Springs MD. You've heard me talk about them for years because I've been going there for years, and they've been helping me for years. And why wouldn't you keep going to a place that helps you improve your quality of life, that helps you become healthier and happier? I know it's what I want, and I hope you would want the same. And I know you do, because a lot of you have gone to Cool Springs MD. And they do a lot of things under one roof, whether it's Dr. Jeffrey Lodge, the board-certified physician, his wife, Daphne, the registered nurse, or their very experienced staff. They've got a lot of people there on hand who can help you in a lot of things. Weight loss management's important to them and should be important to you, and we know it's tough. It's a constant struggle as we're adults, and they've got programs and products and people that can get you back on track and headed in the right direction. Rejuvenation, your appearance is important, or at least it should be, and it's tougher. It gets tougher. It gets more challenging. As we age, well, their staff can sit down with you and talk about PRP, hair removal, Botox, and finally, hormone therapy. Did you know? Have you ever had your levels checked? Did you know that they dip when you get older? Do you know that can affect your drive? It can affect your energy. It can affect your mood. If something like that is happening to you and you feel a little bit off, you should go in there and talk to them about that, because they'll discuss BHRT, testosterone, estrogen. They do it all under one roof there in Cool Springs at 1642 Westgate Circle. If you want to learn everything about them, just go to their website, coolspringsmd.com, or you can always pick up the phone and schedule an appointment or consultation by dialing this number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. Bowl season is the best season. Us at ESPN and The Game Nashville is your home for college football bowl games and the college football playoffs, brought to you by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown and Central Barbecue. 312 Pizza Company is the perfect spot to catch every game during bowl season. And for a list of games carried on ESPN 102.5 The Game and ESPN 94.9, hit up our website at thegamenashville.com/bowl games. Back here on the DDC, Darren McFarland, Will Adonik, Chase McCabe with you. Chris Mason will join us at 1 o'clock. We're live here at Mercedes-Benz of Music City, 734 Envious Lane, right off by 40, right at the airport. Briley Parkway South is the exit you get off. You take a right. Well, you don't have a choice. You're going to veer right, and then your first right, and you can't miss this. It's right here. And we encourage you, as we keep pushing, we've got about an hour and a half before we're out of here, to keep dropping things off to help us help others, and we appreciate it. A lot of you have, and we really, really appreciate that. But if we could get more, everything is going to help. As this city grows, unfortunately, homelessness grows as well. So there'll be a lot of people, and the weather is supposed to be absolutely stunning on Christmas Day. I don't know how you want your Christmas Day. Some people will probably prefer cold and snow. I don't know, since it's Christmas Day. Well, we're not getting that. It's going to be in the 70s.
I know, it's
on
weird.
Christmas Day. But as Pat Sperduto said, what that means is we're going to have a lot of people that are going to be out and about to help, and it'll get cold soon. So don't think they don't need warm things just because it's going to be 70 degrees or in the 70s on Christmas morning, Christmas Day.
Yeah, they will need
it. Because it'll get cold.
Yep, no doubt about it. So appreciate everybody for coming by.
It'll be like a 20-degree difference from today to Christmas Day.
It's just weird, this weather.
Speaking of weird, the Gator Bowl. Gator Bowl is trying to find an opponent for Wake Forest because it looks like A&M is out. I don't know how in the world you find an opponent on December 22nd for your New Year's Eve bowl, but good luck to the folks at the Gator Bowl.
Yeah, I don't really
know.
I don't think I've ever
heard of that before.
No.
9 days out. Hey, you might want to come play in the Gator Bowl against Wake Forest.
I remember talking to Scott Ramsey about that with the Music City Bowl, I feel like, last year. And he was like, he was trying to go through the content, you know, the logistics of actually getting another team. And as he went through them, he was basically saying, you know, it's nearly impossible.
Yeah.
You have to have a team that's playing, that's in shape to play, that could test, that's eligible to play.
Right.
That could get everybody that wants to go there. I mean, there's just no way.
Yeah, because I mean, a lot of teams have, you know,
shut it down.
Yeah, they're done.
Oh, they've been shut down for weeks.
Yeah, so I don't really know what you do.
I mean, nobody's continuing to practice with the hope that they get the phone call that they're going to go to a game.
Right.
In fact, I think it's going to go the other way. I think there will be some more teams that by the time it's time to take the field will have issues like Texas A&M is having.
Well, I mean, honestly,
that's why I brought it up early in the show with Paul Feinbaum about the big games, the semifinals. How much potentially could they be affected by a wave of COVID?
They have 13 players available on defense.
Who's that?
The Aggies.
That's...
They're down to 38. They have 38 scholarship players right now that are available to play. 13 on defense.
So basically what...
If it gets in your walls, it's going to spread. That's the reality of this, especially this variant.
What probably happens is if there's another bowl game that gets affected by this, if only one of the teams, then do they just plug in?
Well, yeah, but how do you divide that money? How does that work?
Right.
Who gets to have it at their place? Who gets the TV rights?
Right.
How does all that work? I mean, I don't know how you're going to pull this off. I mean, it's a great idea, A, for effort, for trying to keep the Gator Bowl alive and keep it going, but I don't know how you'd pull this off.
I think every bowl leader has got to be concerned right now with what we're seeing around the world. It's not just, the sports world, but it's the general population here. It's spreading like wildfire.
Here's an interesting text from Danny on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What about pulling an FCS team that just lost?
An FCS?
I mean, they're in the playoffs. I see why he's saying that. Because they're
in game mode, I guess.
If you just want to have a game.
I don't know. I don't know how that works.
If they're willing to go?
Get Deion, Jackson State.
I don't think they're playing.
Well, I know. Didn't they just get waxed?
They did. That's interesting. Scott says, being serious, a team like Wyoming, San Diego State should go play them. They just finished their bowl game, still together, COVID good, gives them a week to prepare like a normal game.
Oh, you mean so just keep going? Keep going?
Double up and play a second bowl game.
If you're a team like that and you know there's money involved, you probably do it.
You might do it. I mean, you probably could find a willing partner. Hey, you just got done with your bowl.
I think that's
keep playing?
That's the most interesting scenario of do you find one of these teams that – we're in a bowl like that could have a week to prepare, and they just play a second bowl game just to do it. Because the Gator
Wake
Bowl –
Wake Forest is probably just saying, just give us anybody. I'm sure the Gator Bowl
is thinking the same thing. The Gator Bowl is a big deal.
They've been preparing, so of course. I'm sure they do want to play. Actually, I was immediately thinking of teams that haven't played. I didn't really think about teams that have played, and now that that's been brought to our attention, that does make the most sense. Because teams that have been done, they've been done for weeks. What are you going to do? Tell everybody grab their gear, meet us at the facility?
Even let's take Middle Tennessee. They've shut it down. They just played, but they've probably just broken up for the rest of the
Well, but it's a little bit easier and because they just wrapped up. But I mean, think about the teams that haven't played
yesterday,
since the end of November.
Yeah.
You know, 3 weeks.
Oh, yeah. No way.
Right.
I don't see that.
Uh-uh.
If I were a coach, I don't think I'd want
I don't even know if I'd present it. You're right.
Hey, why not just do this? The Jags are looking for a win. Just have them play Wake Forest and, you know, just cancel
their NFL game. Well,
Greg Wyszynski
suggested the Jets. So
he said the Jets. It's at their home field. They can just do it.
Wow.
This is really interesting.
I'm surprised this is the first story.
Well, I am too. But here's the other part. If this is the Gator Bowl. Gator Bowl is one of the bowls. It's a bigger deal. If this was the San Diego Credit Union Holiday Bowl, is it the same thing?
I think we're going to find out. There's still a lot of bowls.
If it's the First Responder Bowl.
Well, I guess what you're saying is the Gator Bowl, there's a bigger payout, bigger stage, more of an effort.
Right.
To make it happen because there's more at stake. And I don't know, you're familiar with the Gator Bowl. Do they do a good pre-sale? Or there's going to be a good crowd no matter what? I don't know.
I'm really not familiar with the Gator Bowl, honestly. It's a big stadium.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not Orlando. The Gator Bowl is in Jacksonville.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're down there, I just figured you know the lay of the land of everything in Florida. All things Florida.
Florida's a big state.
It is a big state. Yeah, when you're going to Miami and you're driving, you get to welcome to Florida, you think you're getting close. You're not. You're not really close.
Yeah.
There's still a long ways to go.
Do you merge with a bowl, like if somebody else drops out, and call it the Gator Cotton Bowl? Like, what? I'm fascinated by this now.
I am curious to see where it goes.
Well, we've read that Miami is having a lot of issues with COVID, right? Didn't I see the headline there? I haven't read into it. But I just suspect there's going to be...
Which Miami are you talking about?
It just said Canes.
The Canes.
Yeah.
Oh.
That would be the Miami Hurricanes, I presume.
Well, they're in the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl.
Yeah.
Against Washington State.
I just think that if this will not be an isolated thing with one team in Texas A&M.
Right.
I think this is going to happen to some teams.
Well, it goes back to what we talked about earlier. What if this happens to one of the playoff teams?
I think if you're Luke Fickell or one of the coaches, you better be thinking about that right now and not, well, right now we're okay. Like if you need to be taking precautions yesterday because once it hits, there's nothing you can do about it.
Nope. The man, the myth, the legend has arrived.
They don't start turning up until a few days after the fact. So you need to be on your guys every day. To control what you can control, and it still may not be enough to stop this kind of thing from happening.
Yeah, because I mean, you're not sliding another team in to the playoff. I mean, it would just be if Alabama comes down with it, then it's a forfeit, I guess.
See, that's a good question.
I don't know.
Well, if you're Notre Dame, are you like let's just play the what if game for a moment. Let's say that happens. One of the four teams they get it and it's early enough. You know, are you if you're Notre Dame and you're the fifth ranked team, are you going and saying, hey, you got to put us in now?
It would take. I mean, it would take honestly. It would take. I don't know how bad it would have to be for them to literally pull out. Team to pull. Like they were,
but they're
playing.
I don't think
the
they're
game.
Rescheduling.
They're playing the game. Unless I mean, literally, the whole team is out.
But we just gave the circumstances for Texas A&M.
That's a Gator Bowl. It's a all due respect.
No,
it's a meaningless.
But it's
a
virus
game.
Doesn't care if it's the Gator Bowl or the semifinal. I'm just saying that could happen to a team.
So you just painted the picture earlier that coaches be like, hey, I don't know, okay, well, if you're not feeling well, all right, we're cool. Take today off.
Every school right now, I think, has got their own.
You don't think that isn't
parameters.
Going on? You feel fine. You're fine. Okay. Yeah, well, you're
but
fine.
It spreads.
Let's go.
But okay, let's go. Then it spreads.
Yeah.
It does.
I know. If does you, it?
I think we've learned enough about that. I'm not
from
a doctor.
From what I hear.
Rumor has it. I don't know if you guys saw this, but Cooper Kupp had 9 catches last night.
Yeah, we did. Thanks.
Oh, don't
thanks
go there.
In their game against Seattle, that is a Rams record for receptions in a season. He has 119.
He broke whose record? I don't know.
Herman Moore?
Rams franchise record. I don't believe Herman played for the Rams. That,
who, does Herman Moore have the all-time record?
For receptions in a season? I don't know. What is it?
Thinking about that wrong? I don't know.
I mean, it can't be much higher.
Cooper
Kupp 119 is
it's where he is now.
Well, Welker's had probably 120 something.
Well, we'll go up to Pro Football Reference. While we look at that,
whose record?
Most receptions in an NFL season?
Yeah,
149. Michael Thomas.
Michael Thomas. That's right. Just a couple
that's
years ago.
No, it was last year.
Was it? No, it wasn't last year. 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Because he did it against the Titans, didn't he?
Yeah,
that's right. That's right.
It was coming close to it.
He broke Marvin Harrison's record.
Kupp's going to get pretty close.
He's going to get close.
So who did 17 games? So who did Kupp beat for the Rams? Who held the record for the Rams?
Henry Ellard.
Good guess. Nope.
We've
had him on the show before. Several times.
Oh, Isaac Bruce.
Mike Bruce. Nice.
Isaac Bruce.
So yeah. Herman Moore is now 8th, just so you know.
He had the record twice in this day and age.
Well, today's game, right, changed everything.
It's a little different.
Yep.
I wanted to add one thing that Chase brought up. We brought up the forfeit scenario. The ACC basketball changed the rules to avoid having forfeits. Back in the summer, remember, this was a big thing. Get your guys vaccinated or else we're threatening. They used it as motivation to get the guys vaccinated. We don't want to deal with this. So get vaccinated or else we are going to consider forfeiting games. So they had all that. For the most part, people fell into line, vaccinated their players. So now the ACC, of course, basketball, if you get it, go through your wave.
Right.
They have now set the rule in the ACC. I'm curious to what other leagues do. They said if you have 7 players and 1 coach, you can play. If it goes below that, it is a no contest. It's not a forfeit. However, if you have 7 players and a coach, you're playing. You cannot just say, hey, we're out. So they're drawing the line. It's 7 players and 1 coach.
My team is on the court.
So get ready for that. I would have loved a couple of those games back when I was at Vanderbilt. I could have got some PT.
Well, if you were available, yeah.
If I was in the 7, they had to put me in, at least for a few. I remember Darcy Hordachek, Darren, back in the day. The Predators had a wave of injuries, and they had the flu. This was in Anaheim. And I sat with Darcy. I said, Darcy, you're going to get a lot of minutes tonight. Everybody's out. And he goes, he looks at me, he goes, they'll find a way to get me 5. Sure enough, at the end of the night, the score sheet hit like 6 minutes and 49 seconds of ice time.
That's hilarious. Old Darcy. We'll come back, put a bow on the third hour of Darren Donick and Chase next. Here on Darren Donick and Chase, Chris Mason coming up at 1 o'clock. We are live here at Mercedes-Benz of Music City. Gorgeous. Gorgeous place. Incredible lobby. Incredible generosity by the listeners. Pulling up. Coming up with cash donations, clothes. There's bags of clothes out there. Nashville General Hospital stopped by with tons of stuff. Listeners have been stopping by. Our tent out front. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe, now the man.
Now, you know, notice what Chase did.
Of course. That was a smart move.
It was a really interesting move.
Yeah.
It on the surface, was a very unselfish move.
Yeah, it was like, oh, well, that was
what a nice guy.
What a nice guy. And then what was the end game? Chase was like, yeah, I'm just going to go over
to the massage table.
Yeah, to the massage chair. Yeah.
Very crazy like a fox.
I said, hey, guys, I'll sit this out, all right? I'm a team player. I'm going to sit this out and get a massage, but I'm going to sit it out.
This place is like an adult playground.
First of all,
the cars are ridiculous.
Yes.
We can all see that. But the people around here, the service, the massage chairs, and the Christmas tree, and this place is
waterfalls.
Beautiful. Waterfall gets you
go to the bathroom. The mayor's got a TV in the middle.
That's insane. That is insane.
While you're washing your hands, you can watch some TV.
This place is beautiful, and you know, obviously Mercedes is a top product, and they try to treat their customers the right way, so it says a lot. Mercedes in Music City. Hello.
And owned by?
Mercedes.
Nick Saban. Go look at that office. If you're not see, you haven't walked around
enough.
Yeah,
he may own it. I don't think he's working out of here.
No, I don't think he's working out of here, but he does sign the checks.
I believe that.
We've talked to him about it. This honestly, it means a lot to him. He's dedicated a lot of this to his father.
Oh, good.
It meant a lot to him. So you'll see that flavor. I know when we had him on SEC Media Days, when this place had just opened, and he sat down with us, and he talked about, you know, how much this meant. He wanted this to be something that he reflected upon his father. So, because of his work ethic and what he learned from him. And so it's pretty cool. This is an unbelievable place.
Yeah. I mean, if you want a luxury car that's going to last you a long time. I was saying that my sister had one for 16 years. The thing was unbelievable. You know, they're impressive cars. So obviously, they take time, put a lot of quality into their product, and that's why it is the way it is.
That's all my father-in-law drives, but I can't figure out if it's because it's a great, great car, which I know it is, or if it's because he's a huge diehard Alabama fan.
Oh.
Yeah, so, and he gets them from here, so.
I understand.
You know what I mean? So I'm a little conflicted. Like, I don't know where – I think it's probably all the above, but he is also – you know, he graduated from Alabama. He's huge. He's Roll Tide Roll.
So Alabama equates Mercedes.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. That's all he drives. So what do we need – this is the final push.
This is it.
A little bit over an hour to go.
We need people to take a minute if they can. You know, we're grateful for anything and everything people have already done. And I keep telling you guys, 102.5 The Game, Mercedes in Music City, Yogi's in Creve Hall, Yogi's Pizzeria, Creve Hall, awesome. Neighbors stepped up to the challenge. And, of course, the individual families that have all come out and helped us. And most importantly, your listeners. I mean, they've answered the challenge every single year. We need, and unfortunately, I keep saying it, we need new. It has to be new according to kind of COVID rules. New sweatshirts, size extra large, double extra large, triple X. Anything can be on the sweatshirt. As long as it's new, it doesn't matter what it says on it. It can be an Alabama sweatshirt, which might be hard to get for you know, a little amount of money, but it could be a plain sweatshirt. It could be an ugly colored sweatshirt. It could be a Christmas sweater. Anything that's going to help insulate and give another layer to a person that's trying to get through the winter. Fortunately for us, like I said, Saturday is going to be 72 degrees, so the likelihood is there'll be a lot of people that we can actually gain access to and help them prepare for the cold stretch that's about to come after this weekend. So we need sweatshirts, we need new socks, we need new gloves, and we need knit hats. And all those things provide a layer of protection, and all the meals will be provided by Yogi's Pizzeria in Creve Hall. So,
was this 25 years and running and counting?
You know, it's funny. I was driving over here, and I was thinking about how it all started. It started with I used to drive home from school, and where I drove to get home, I'd have to drive Mass Ave. And Mass Ave is in Cambridge, is a really populated area. It's the inner part of the city. And if I hit it at the right time, like 9 o'clock, everything's starting to close.
This is Boston.
This is in Boston, yeah. Boston. And I would drive down Mass Ave, 9:30, and as the stores closed, you saw people kind of gathering in those storefronts, the little, you know, the cut-ins, and that was where they were going to spend the night. So I get home, and my oldest sister, Roseanne, who passed in a tragic accident, she told me, "What do you want for Christmas?" And I said, "You know what I'd really love? I'd love blankets, and I'd love to go out and give blankets to the homeless." So sure enough, Christmas Eve, we opened presents on Christmas Eve, And sure, there's blankets. She bought like 40 blankets for me.
Oh, wow.
And then we both got into her Cutlass Supreme, and we drove down Mass Ave and stopped and handed out blankets. And that's really how it all began. And then it went to, okay, let's try to feed people. And then when we came here, the first Christmas, it was my wife, Laura, and I. We lived literally like the next.
Is this when you were the head coach of the Cats?
Yes. No. I was the coordinator. I was the defensive coordinator of the Cats.
You were the DC.
Eddie Kayat was the head coach.
Yeah.
And we went to Subway and we bought 25 ham and cheese subs. And we went through our closets and we had a bunch of blankets that we had moved up here with. We grabbed all these blankets. We loaded them into a car and we stopped downtown, and that's how it all began here. And we have been so lucky that, you know, Willie Donick and his family joined in. Just Aaron jumped, we're in, you know, there was no stopping her.
No,
so you just said, come on.
There's no.
The Warren family, another great family, they were in. And then we got lucky to get Darren and Warren, and we've been grateful. Everybody that's come out every year, and it's been different faces at times. God rest his soul. Todd Williams came out one year with us, a former Titan lineman. It was awesome. Larry Keaton, who passed a few years ago, he's kind of like a legend out here in Donelson. And I remember him running to his store and forcing the guy at the toy store next to his store to open so he could get some toys, because we had a couple kids one year, and he wanted to come back and hand them toys for Christmas. And, you know, it's been awesome. The turnout's been awesome. The people that have volunteered and helped. It's not a titled charity. We kind of made up the funny name, the Art Paducah Christmas Miracle, and we've kind of.
I'm going to break out the T-shirt.
Oh, I know, me too.
I'm going to break it out.
Lauren wears it. All the time.
Art Paducah Christmas.
This time
miracle.
Of year. This is when.
Yep.
In December, you'll see her wearing the Art Paducah shirt.
Got to do it. And it's that's kind of what we named it. So we've been fortunate. Everybody that's been involved.
There's such a great story behind that. Man.
Yeah. That'll be next. We'll tell that story next year.
No, I know. But that's a great story.
It is a good story. And God bless him. I just saw a picture of Father Breen.
No, it's a great story. It's not a good story. It's a great story. And I would have given anything to be sitting next to you when that happened.
Well, it's but it just, you know, that's kind of how it all began. And we've been very lucky. And we're just asking, just take 15, 20 minutes. If you're in the area, please stop by a Big Lots, stop by a Kmart, stop by a, I don't even know if Kmart's open anymore, Walmart,
there's a
Costco.
I know that somebody dropped off, one of the listeners, coats from Walmart, and they're still in the hanger.
Whatever they can, and it's whatever you can do. Just so you understand, we're not asking anybody to extend themselves. You know, we understand that take care of your family, do what's best for you. But if you have $10 lying around, you want to get a package of socks, awesome. If you have $20 and you're running by Walmart and you're buying something for a family member and you see a sweatshirt, grab it. I mean, and just run by and drop it off, and we will make sure it gets to. And you know this.
Oh yeah,
you've seen it. And Aaron, his wife, Willie's wife, is going to make sure. She is the fashion coordinator, and she does such a good job of making people feel like they are important. And you know, I love this. Look at this color on you, and it just says so much that we don't want to take away their dignity. They've fallen on a hard situation or through hard times, and we just want to give back, and that's what it's all about. And we get more out of it when we get back in our cars to drive home and open up our Christmas presents. We feel like we've already opened the best Christmas present first. So
no question.
Well said. All right, got an hour to go. Once again, let's give the list and our final push.
Sweatshirts or sweaters, size large or greater, socks, gloves, and knit hats. Anything new we can take, and we can
coats.
Make sure it goes. Sure, coats won't hurt. We can make sure it goes to people who need it for Christmas Day.
And if you want to stop by here in the next hour and give a cash donation like others have, we'll go shopping before Christmas morning.
Okay.
Does Laura know?
No, she doesn't. But
does she know she's got? She's got work to do.
She's about to be recruited. I'm sure. But she doesn't mind shopping. She's the master of it was only. Has your wife ever said
it
that?
It was only.
It was only. Or I saved us.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't save us. You actually spent a little bit less. Yeah.
Good to see you. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it. Thank you, Chase. Hopefully, if
yeah, he's asleep. He's asleep. He's probably not even going to do the last hour. Just stay relaxed. He is, I think, asleep. All right, Pat Spirito, thank you so much. We'll come back. Final hour. We'll start things off. We'll see Mace next.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.